Blog Talk Radio.
A new life begins!
Show. My name is Edwina, my partner in crime as usual for the biscuit that was Destroy Everything by Hatebreed, which, God, I love that song. It's you know, for a hardcore song, it's got some funk to it, the way it just builds up. It's weird. I don't want to say I'm a huge Hatebreed. I love Hatebreed. I'm not a stan. I'm more of a stan of the metal side, but I've seen him live, and it's one of the most insane mosh pits. As far as live shows, I fucking love Hatebreed. And the reason I played Hatebreed is because right now, Tony Khan is destroying everything, all the walls. But we'll get to that in a second. You have, I think we might have mentioned it on the show, you kind of have a relationship with Jamie Josta, or had a relationship with Jamie Josta.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him in years, but like, yeah, so for... Like, when I first got to Boston, I was booking shows part-time. I was working with this promoter, and he was like he did a lot of, like, old-school punk and hardcore shows in Boston. He was, like, really known. And so I booked Josta 14, and then I'd seen them in D.C. and talked to them since I'd booked them in Boston. And then when, like, the second time I booked them in Boston, Jamie had actually stayed at my dorm in South Campus because, like, everybody else was straight edge in Josta 14, and he wanted to drink 40s, like, in my dorm room. He was, like, 16 back then.
That was – and you know what's funny? Like, he's straight edge now? Like, well – I guess recovering, I guess he's some sort of program because he's all about that straight edge lifestyle now, which is great because, I mean, I give him credit, Hatebreed, and we'll get into wrestling. I apologize. I love metal. I guess that's why I don't mind talking about it. But, like, Jamie helped usher that second wave of metal. Some didn't like it, but the new metal / thrash that was going and hardcore that was going on at the time. When they revived Headbangers Ball on MTV. It used to be Ricky Ratman who used to host the show. And when they rebooted it, with Jamie Josta, which was the right guy, right place, right time. And it not only helped put his band, Hatebreed, on the map, but that run of Headbangers Ball, it gave light to Slipknot, to Lamb of God, to Shadows Fall, these bands that were coming out of you know, different parts of the country, Western Massachusetts, Florida. I believe that Lamb of God, I don't know if they're from the Virginia or North Carolina area, but it was
they're from
it gave him a
Richmond.
Platform. Okay, yeah.
But
it gave him a platform. And it was the right place, right guy, right attitude, because he was friends with a lot of these bands. So it's just amazing to see where Hatebreed is, where they came from to where they've gone, you know. I love Hatebreed. Like I said, I wouldn't call myself a mega fan because they got some hardcore fans. Well, again, one of the most insane pits I've ever been in. Just whoo. But I guess we'll segue into this Destroy Everything because Tony Khan is destroying everything. We'll make this quick because we also got to review the Rumble and actually we've been a while. We've been kind of busy. You've been with Ghostface. I've been job stuff that I've been doing. throwing a little plug, putting you over there a little bit, a little Ghostface project, but you know, but yeah, Tony Khan's been busy destroying a lot of walls with partnerships with Impact, partnerships it looks like with New Japan after things looked like they were broken. Obviously, he has a partnership with AAA in Mexico, and we're gonna like the fact that I watched the New Beginning Hiroshima pay per view on the New Japan platform. And they were promoting and advertising, making a big deal that they were going to show AEW footage of the match between Kenta and Omega versus Lance Archer and Mox, all four who have had a relationship in New Japan. And so they were touting that in the New Beginnings Hiroshima show. And, you know, it's surreal. And you asked me offline, what was it? I'll let you. You asked me offline. What was it you asked me offline, the text you sent?
What about, like, is it just basically just everybody against WWE now?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Or about the Jeff Hardy one?
No, that one. That one.
The Jeff Hardy one?
No, that everyone's teaming up. I think for years, in trying to be number two, everybody has been undercutting each other for a long, long time, whether it was Ring of Honor, whether it was Impact, whether it was New Japan. And I think in trying to be that number two, when they can pull the same stunt that McMahon bought out the territory. That's how it became this global conglomerate, this huge billion-dollar sports entertainment empire. He either collected the territories or he took the talent, bought them out. And in a lot of ways, I think in everyone undercutting themselves as number two, why not work together to become a number two? Almost like the old NWA, if you will. I think it's great for business. I'm excited for the New Beginnings USA show. That's going to be the main event, is Mox versus Kenta. I don't know how you feel about – I know you're not the biggest Mox fan, but I don't know how you feel about everything that's going on. I think the promos being cut out of Japan. Jay White, when he returned to Japan, he said, this isn't a reunion. This is real Bullet Club. That was a direct shot at Kenny. The Gorillas of Destiny calling them the Bootleg Club. and that they're not welcome. He's calling Doc Gallows by his Festus name, and he's calling his former best friend, Carl Anderson, he's calling him Little Festus. And so with everything aligning, it's interesting seeing that, you know, maybe we get this big mega show all out too, and it's going to feature New Japan and AAA and Impact and, you know, AEW. And that's what I mean by destroy everything. That's Tony Khan. It's just, whether you like him or hate him, I know people hate his booking, you know, the Cornette fans and whatnot. But I think from a business side, I love this. And honestly, I've been paying more attention to AEW because of that Bullet Club storyline. #Bullet Club, everything is fine. More so than I've been paying attention to NXT, which we're going to review in a second. But I guess before we get into that, I just wanted to get your take. Do you think it's good for business that all these companies are aligning against the biggest dog in the yard, which is what it feels like, as you stated?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. You know, it's just, you could say it's strength in numbers, it's unity, but, I mean, nobody's been able to... You know, nobody's been able to give Vince, like, a really, really hard go at it, you know, since the Monday Night Wars. So rather than just, like, fighting each other to be, you know, to see who's number two, like, why not just kind of, like, join forces and see if you can take over the big dog, you know? I mean, I think, to me, it makes sense. And, you know, as a fan, you have to like it because, you know, you get to see all these other guys, you know, in your, you know, quote unquote fantasy matches that you're like, oh, imagine if you could, you know, book any AEW versus WWE match. Well, like, you know, you're going to be able to see some of those matches now that you were thinking about. So, you know, that's not going to do anything except just get more, you know, viewers. And you know, I think it's a great move. I think it makes perfect sense, and we'll see what happens. You know, nobody's really done it before.
I'd be lying if I didn't say, like, I've been kind of fantasy booking in my head, like, you know, the idea of Young Bucks versus G.O.D. is fascinating to me, or even FTR versus G.O.D. You know what I mean? I think Zack Sabre Jr. and Tai Chi have a nice little thing with Dangerous Techers going. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them against Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. I really, really like that tag team, as much as Marco Stunt annoys me. But I really, really do like that tag team. You know, yeah. And so, yeah, I'd be lying if I didn't say, and to be honest, the idea of Ibushi or Okada in an American ring. Damn, I'm getting another call, but I'm gonna have to. That's what that beeping sound. I'll answer that later. But like Okada versus oh man, I lost my train of thought. My bad. Okada versus anybody in America. Think about it. Maybe Okada versus Mox. Okada versus Omega. Maybe we get that back again. Damn, I lost my train of thought too. That's my bad. But, you know, the possibility of Naito and all these guys that are major stars in Japan being in the ring against American talent. I'm more fascinated in that, and I hate saying it, than I guess the Joshi women that are coming from that tournament. My friend of the show, Bonnie, gets so triggered by that tournament. We'll talk about that next week as we get closer to Evolution. I think that's the name of the next pay-per-view. Royal Rumble. Let's get into Royal Rumble. What are your initial thoughts on it? Man, this everything's a mess today for me today. Royal Rumble.
What do I think? What did I think about it?
Yeah, what were your impressions of it as we roll along?
I thought it was a pretty good pay-per-view. As time has passed since the Rumble, I mean, I was never a fan of Edge winning it, especially coming in at number one and winning it. You know, I'm tired of seeing WWE let all the old heads, you know, do all this incredible stuff, and I'm just like, you know, like you keep doing the same thing. Like, I don't know. So I mean, like, and there's no, like, not really anything about the Rumble on the men's side that really, like, sticks in my head. You know what I mean? I thought the women's was great. I mean, obviously, I'm a Bianca Mark, so you know I'd be happy about that. But I actually had predicted that, too, so.
You did.
But I thought the women's was a good match. Thought the women's was a good match. Not that the men's was bad, but you know, just as time has passed, it's been, what, 2 weeks now? It just...
Yeah.
Nothing like, sticks out at this point. You know, 2 weeks later, nothing really sticks out. As far as the other matches, I don't know. I thought Owens-Reigns was a pretty good match. You know, obviously, there was the fumble with the key.
It was a big fumble.
That was a pretty big fumble. Other than that, though, I thought it was a pretty good match. But, I mean, nothing really, it wasn't bad. There were some good moments, but not like a real memorable pay-per-view to me. And the Edge thing kind of just, you know, kind of like left like a little bad aftertaste in my mouth. I'm like, Edge, really?
So, for me, I will say what stood out 2 weeks in the aftermath is Bianca Belair getting her push. I really like, you know, everyone's been complaining, when's she going to get a push? When's she getting a push? Well, here's a push. I think everyone needs to slow down, relax, and let this build, whether she picks Sasha Banks, whether she picks Asuka, or whether she picks Io Shirai. You know, since we're throwing it out there, last year, you know, Charlotte exercised it against the NXT champion. We don't know. And I think there's two pay-per-views before Mania for this to build up. So, you know, we have Elimination Chamber and not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. So I think let's cool our jets and see where this goes. I'd prefer to see her against Sasha. I think they could do some great stuff with Asuka. I know you were worried about potential of promos going back and forth because you enjoyed the program with Bayley. But I think, you know, they're figuring it out with Asuka how to get stuff out of her that's entertaining. It may not be, you know, she's not going to be doing hard times like Dusty Rhodes, but, you know, I think they're working with what they got. I think her English is better than people give her credit. But again, that's, you know, Vince gonna Vince. So, as far as the men,
yeah.
I'm not as annoyed. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I like Asuka, you know, don't get me wrong, but this is, like, WrestleMania season. So it's got to be something where, like, week in and week out, you know, not to say Asuka's, like, one-dimensional, but it is kind of, like, the, you know, the language barrier that is, you know, what is her driving force. But it's like, you know, you got like 2 months of buildup. So it's just different in WrestleMania season. So, you know, like week to week, Asuka is cool on the mic. I think she's hilarious. But like, you know, we got 2 months to go. And it's like, you know. She hasn't really, you know, built up any storylines with anybody in a while.
Well, I mean, part of that is, and I guess it relates to the Women's Rumble, part of that is pairing her with Charlotte to win the tag team titles kind of stole a little bit of the steam, I feel, from Asuka. Of course, Vince has a type.
Yeah.
Charlotte Flair is that type. And she's earned that spot. I mean, she's really, really good. She is high level for as much as people complain much Charlotte. I mean, part of the reason it's too much Charlotte is she's really damn good. But I think that killed some of the steam. There's still time to rebuild that steam. Once Bianca's made her decision, whether it's with, you know, headlining or not headlining, going against Asuka or going against Sasha Banks. I think as far as the men's, I'm not as annoyed by Edge as everyone else is. I think this isn't a situation like The Undertaker or a situation like Sting, where you're talking about guys in their 50s and 60s who they just can't go anymore. I think Ed's situation is different because he was forced into retirement while he still had a lot of gas left in the tank. I think in that time off, he's gotten time to recharge. It seems like he's on a semi-regular schedule where you're at least seeing him on Raw and on SmackDown and on NXT, and he's somewhat competing. Even though he's saving the bigger bumps for the pay-per-views, I am not as annoyed by this by everyone else because I don't think it's that where they talk about, well, the older guy is taking spots from the younger guys. I think in this case, it's more of unfinished business by Edge considering how his career ended. He never lost the belt. He never got pinned. And I think you can do something with that storyline, whether it's to put over Roman Reigns or Drew McIntyre or to put a bow on his Hall of Fame career and giving him one last run, one last WrestleMania moment. So I'm not as annoyed by that ending as everyone else has been. I don't mind that ending. I think that ending is okay. I just think the women's match was better and probably should have headlined, in my opinion. That's just
so
me.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you think, because I hear you on, you know, the storyline with Edge and one more WrestleMania moment, but do you think he has another WrestleMania moment?
Yes. Yes, I do. Again, I don't think this situation was Sting. Yes, I do. I do. I think, you know, I think he went a pretty long match with Randy Orton, both in the last year's Mania, as far as the street match, as well as greatest match ever, which wasn't the greatest match ever. It wasn't even Okada Omega or I'm trying to think, or Funk versus Flair, or you know what I mean? So, but he's shown that he doesn't get blown. He can go those hard minutes. So I think, yeah, I think he can put up a decent quality match with a McIntyre or a Roman Reigns or a Finn Balor if he chooses to go that route. I don't think it's a situation like, let's say Sting, they're promoting Sting at the pay-per-view, teaming up with Darby Allin in a street fight. I'm not expecting this to be a match. I'm expecting a cinematic thing for this. I'm not expecting an actual match, which is disappointing for me. But then again, Darby Allin likes these artsy kind of, you know, he comes up like a film student type thing. You know, he's been doing a lot of these, you know, skater videos for a long time. So maybe this is something he's looking forward to doing with his idols thing. I don't know. But I just don't expect an actual match with Sting. I don't want to see an actual match with Sting. So I don't, again,
no,
yes,
nobody
I
does.
Do think.
Nobody does. It's
yes,
not as
I
bad
think.
As Sting. You're correct. But, like, what percentage do you give Edge now compared to, let's say, like, you know, right before, you know, he was forced into retirement? what percentage of today's Edge do you think is left from that Edge?
I think he's at 75 to 80% of where he left off in his last match against Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania. I think he's got about 75-80%. Because again, it wasn't. Look, he was able to walk away from that match and walk away on his own, and I think he had still a lot left in the tank. It wasn't like he was at the end of his career. This wasn't a situation where it was Sting versus Seth Rollins and that buckle bomb, you know, hurt what was essentially a 50, 60-year-old man. You know, I think that, yeah, you have to work careful with – I think he's in the same situation as Daniel Bryan with coming back with the concussion. I think that's the level that you're going to get. As you look how they're using Daniel Bryan, they're using him in certain spots, in certain situations. He's kind of a regular schedule. He still does SmackDown, but, you know, he works careful. He works with guys that work careful. I think that's kind of where he's at what he can give in a ring performance at a WrestleMania. I think he can give you at least current Daniel Bryan work, at least. At most. Like if you were to peek out. So that's why I'm not as annoyed with the Edge thing. He'll give you more than John Cena coming back, or he'll give you more than The Rock would, because they're talking about eventually setting up The Rock versus Roman Reigns.
I agree.
He'll give you more than Goldberg.
I agree, but I feel like those are kind of like extremes, you know? Like, I mean, you know, I'm not implying he's a Goldberg or Rock or any of these guys who just don't wrestle anymore coming back. I mean, obviously, he went out at the top of his game. You know, he didn't retire the first time because he was old. He always performed at a high level. I just, since he's been back, I can't say I've really seen, to me, what I got psyched about Edge for. I haven't seen that.
Fair enough. The other thing about the Men's Royal Rumble, I did enjoy seeing Christian out there. That was a nice little swerve. I know people were expecting Jay White or Chris Cross.
Karrion Kross. Jay White.
Well, he resigned later. I mean, he showed up at the New Japan show, one of the beginnings, New Beginnings tour stop. He showed up and attacked Ishii, your boy. I also love Ishii, Stone Pitbull. He's feuding with Chaos right now. Trying to get the three-man tags with teaming up with Gorillas of Destiny, trying to get the three-man tag title. So, I wasn't expecting Jay White. I mean, it'd been nice. I think that's why Jay White stayed. Really quick side note. I think Jay White had just come from headlining Wrestle Kingdom to go into a performance center, even if it is the NXT center. That sounds like a step down to me. I wouldn't want to do that if I were Jay White. And I don't think Jay White is a big enough name where you could put him out there as a Rumble entrant in the WWE Universe, which we've talked about in the past. WWE Universe is different than wrestling fans in a lot of ways. It really is a universe. You know, your average WWE Universe fan, wrestling fan, doesn't know who Jay White is. So I think Jay White made the right business decision for himself. Like, why? You just came off headlining Wrestle Kingdom. Why would you want to go to a performance center to be told how to wrestle again, how to throw a promo again? I think, you know what I mean? So that's just a side note on that, you know. But I thought the Rumble was okay. Like you said, it didn't have the same energy as previous Rumbles. But I think the women's match was the best one. I really was enjoying the Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens match with that botch at the end. And that might be Paul Heyman's fault. From what I understand, he just didn't know how to unlock those handcuffs. So, McIntyre versus Goldberg, it needed to be what it needed to be. It was exactly what it was. And, you know, Carmella, Sasha Banks is okay. It was an okay show for what it was. And I think the women stole the show. I'm not as mad about Edge winning the Rumble. And we'll see what happens, because, again, he's not choosing until after Elimination Chamber. So it'll be interesting what happens with that. I guess let's talk really quick. We got some time next week's TakeOver show. Now, I've been so caught up in Bullet Club business because I'm Bullet
Club.
I love the Bullet
Club.
Yeah, sorry, tomorrow. Jeez, yeah. Tomorrow, so I may let you take the lead a little bit on this. It looks like a good card on paper to me. They're calling the Rascals MSK. What does MSK stand? I don't even know what MSK stands for. But actually,
I don't know what it stands for. I don't get the whole MSK thing. Like, I don't know.
I'm still gonna call them the Rascals.
Yeah,
so
I don't know. You
have been watching the Dusty Road Classics. What's been your impression? I'm a fan of the Rascals from their work at Impact. What's been your impression thus far working a WWE gym?
Solid. I think I'm going for the Grizzled Young Veterans. I think the Grizzled Young Veterans deserve it. They had a good showing last year, and they've had a really good showing this year. And, you know, they've been around. They've paid their dues on NXT, so I'd kind of like to see them win over MSK. I mean, MSK in ring is good. I'm not a big fan of, like, their gimmick and promos and stuff. AEW, I feel like, has very solid tag teams, but not solid tag team, like, gimmicks and, you know, like, some of the tag teams. Like, MSK is kind of like, I don't know, the Acclaimed, and just there's a lot of nondescript tag teams in AEW, even if, like, in ring they're good. And MSK is kind of like that to me. I mean, I think the Grizzled Young Veterans deserve it.
Are they still doing kind of the smoker gimmick that they were doing in Impact Wrestling?
Who?
That was their whole shtick. Young Rascals.
Who?
MSK.
No, not the same. Not the same, but not like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like, not really, but it's still like traces of it, I guess.
Okay.
You know, this is not a whole brand new thing, but it is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember what MSK stands for. And, like, I'm not really understanding the direction.
Okay. I agree with you about Grizzly Young Veterans. I think they're really, really underrated. I like the work they put in. Tough old horses, you know what I mean?
They remind me of FTR.
I wanted to say that, but they're a little bit more physical than FTR. Whereas FTR is more of a technical, you know, Arn Anderson, Tully, you know, type of tag team. I don't want to say the Bulldogs.
They're similar
personality-wise,
though.
Yes, yeah. I do agree with that. Old school, just old school wrestling. And
just bark on
I like
you
that
and
about
then go
them.
In the ring and storm the ring and go, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to go with, I mean, I'm because I haven't been watching as much, I admit. I'm going to go more on gut and feel. I'm going to pull for you, Grizzly Young Veterans. That's who I'm going to go with on that match. We also got the women's triple threat. Actually, let's go with the women's Dusty Rhodes Classic. Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez versus Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. I don't know how much of a fan you are of either. Who you got in this match?
So I think this is kind of a classic case of two talented wrestlers that individually they don't really know what to do with them. So they're going to give them the tag team belts. I think Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart win. I don't necessarily like them as a tag team. I like both of them individually. As a tag team, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I get why they're doing it. But I feel like Dakota Kai has enough of a push, you know, singles, and she has her direction already going. I feel like it just makes more sense to just, you know, go with Moon and Blackheart just because, you know, they're both big individual talents, but it's just you know, individually they haven't really accomplished like a whole lot. So, you know, throw them together as a tag team and give them some stress.
I'm going to go with Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, absolutely, because they feel more like a natural tag team. I don't know if they've been doing anything to swerve them or whatnot again. They've just been teaming a lot longer together. They're trying to replicate that. This is where you can see Shawn Michaels' influence in the back, or as far as creative in NXT, because they're totally trying to do the whole Shawn Michaels Diesel thing. And I've enjoyed their work for the most part. I'd like to see them get the title, or at least the title shot. Who's the champions right now? Baszler, and I think that's a fun little matchup of you know, strength against strength. You know, Nia Jax and Raquel Gonzalez kind of going toe to toe. You know, and then you got kind of the cowardly heel in Dakota Kai trying to outsmart Shayna Baszler. I think that's a better matchup I'd like to see. I don't know how I feel about Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. I think you kind of nailed it where it's two very talented individuals that they don't know what to do with yet or what to do with, especially in a loaded women's division top to bottom as far as WWE all around, considering all three brands. So I hear what you're saying about Shotzi and Ember, but I just think Raquel and Dakota just feel more like a tag team, and I'm going to go with them to win the Dusty Classic. Sticking with the women's division, I kind of like this match. Io Shirai, Toni Storm, and Mercedes Martinez in a triple threat match for the women's NXT title. I'm obviously biased, so I'm just going to get it out the way. I'm going with Io Shirai always, every day. I don't know what the buildup has been to the storyline, so fill me in and who you got.
I got to go with Io, too. I think Io's going to, you know, I think she's going to hold the belt for a while. And I think matches like this are really going to, like, solidify why she'll hold the strap for so long, why she deserves it. There's a lot brewing with her and Toni Storm. Toni Storm has been, you know, of course, like blindsiding her and all that. Io's been talking a little smack about Toni, though, saying that she's not, you know, she's not the same Io when Toni was NXT UK champ and beat Io, and, you know, she was like, you know, you're not that wrestler anymore, and Io's like talking to her, and then, you know, so those two really have more going on. But, yeah, I think Io is Io's thing. It's like how I feel about Sasha when there's a cage. Like, Io, mm-hmm. at the pay-per-view, it's going to be like, I mean, she's just going to have, like, I'm going to say three spots that make you say, like, oh, shit. I'll go with three. You know what I mean? Like, she's going to carry
this
match. Yeah, I do. You know, it's going to be not that Toni Storm, not that they can't put on a good match, but Io Shirai is going to be the difference maker. And she's going to be the one that, you know, has these incredible spots and plus is also an incredible technical wrestler, high flyer. Like, you know, I mean, Io Shirai, she's just hot right now. I already was thinking, you know, for like that Io Shirai, if things stay the way they are, she might end up being, you know, my for the women's fuzzy in 2021. You know, I've been like, Io Shirai is looking like her star is shooting straight upward. So I'm going with
Io. You know, if it wasn't for Sasha and Bayley having champ runs and just having a hellacious 2020, I'd have had Io Shirai as my 2020 Fuzzies winner. I thought she had a great year that was just overshadowed by a much better run that Sasha and Bayley had. I'd like to see it keep going.
But
I'd like to see it keep rolling. I agree with you. Every time there's a pay-per-view and Io's on, it hasn't really been a boring match yet. She just does something. Three spots. I'm going to go with two as the over-under. She's going to do two insane spots where you're like, oh, my God. I love Io Shirai. Like, she's one of my favorites to watch. She's much CTV. Yeah, you know, I can't put her enough over. And like I said, my pick is a no-brainer. And that's no disrespect to Toni Storm, who's done great work with NXT UK and whatnot. But I think Io's just playing at another level right now. I think, and that's the thing with NXT. NXT, sometimes the women's division, you get a champion that's just so dominant. You had it with Shayna Baszler. You had it with Asuka. That their runs are so sick. You're like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? Like, you forget the runs that the other ones had. And right now, it's definitely Io's playground. She's ahead of the table as far as the NXT women's division. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's her show, and it's like Toni Storm and her have been going at it, and Mercedes Martinez just makes it feel kind of like an awkward triple threat. Like, it's kind of like, okay, I feel like this is filler just because you wanted a triple threat because, you know, it's I don't know. I guess she's like, well, no, because Toni Storm is strong, too. I don't know. I'm struggling to understand the addition of Mercedes.
She feels like a third wheel in all this. She really does. Ooh, nice takedown. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got the UFC fight in the corner of my eye right now. Kelvin Gastelum is fighting, so I apologize for that. Let's go to the men's. We got two more matches to go over real quick. We got a little bit of time. Johnny Gargano versus Kushida on paper. I fucking love this match. I'm a huge Time Stopper fan. I go back to Kushida with Impact and New Japan and, you know, Mr. Takeover. I mean, we were just talking about, you know, Io Shirai showing out. When doesn't Johnny Gargano bring the heat, you know, at the NXT pay-per-views? There was a point where I had him just, you know, a couple of years ago where his matches were as much fire as must-see TV as maybe even Okada. Like, maybe not talent-wise, but they were just so much storyline. And I love what they're doing with Johnny Gargano as far as the way. I never thought, Austin Theory? I never thought I'd be in a situation where I'd be putting him over. I love the work that he's doing in Indira Hartwell. What's her name? I forgot her first name. But yeah, I just love the whole family that they got, the Johnny Wrestling, you know, the wrestling family.
The way.
I got Gargano winning this. I would love Kushida to hold some gold at NXT, but the way will find a way. I'll just leave it at that. There's just too many numbers, too many. They're just going to throw numbers at Kushida, you know. That's just the way. So I'm going to go with Gargano on this, but this might be match of the night.
I agree. Like, I think this is match of the night. If not, it'll be the last one we talk about. But I think match of the night. I think, you know, it is Johnny Takeover. You know, again, you know, Takeover is kind of his thing. You could say Io Shirai on the pay-per-views. You know, Gargano with the Takeovers. And I think that he's going to have, you know, I think they're going to keep pushing the way into a major faction. And I think they're going to give Gargano a nice little run, but I think it's going to be a great match. I think I could see Kushida getting the belt, but down the road, I think right now Gargano is going to hold on to that belt.
And finally, before we head out, this will be the main event. This could be match of the night. From what I understand, whoever the NXT champion, they will get to defend at WrestleMania because it's a two-night affair. So it's kind of a big match for both of these guys, an opportunity to be showcased at the Showcase of the Immortals, as they say. Finn Balor versus Pete Dunne. I've been a Bruiserweight fan from day one that I saw him. I love the way he wrestles that British strong style. Finn Balor, I've been a fan since Bullet Club, since he formed the Bullet Club, but, you know, that's what caught my eye. I'm a big Finn Balor fan. He doesn't do the Demon intro anymore, but I get it. He doesn't want to do it anymore because it's a lot of work. Stylistically, I really love this match. I think it's going to be a strong style of match. I think it's going to be a hard-hitting match. Maybe not Walter versus Dragunov type of match, but I think it will be in that vein of that UK, you know, NXT UK style. That's a little bit of that strong style. It's going to be a stiff match. I'm going to go with Finn Balor. I think Finn Balor is a known commodity that they can use at WrestleMania to help push the NXT brand. And who knows, maybe he defends against Adam Cole. Who knows? I don't know how they're going to set that up. But I'm going to go with Finn Balor moving on to being showcased at WrestleMania and retaining the title.
Yeah, Finn Balor is another one that's hot. Like, Finn Balor is, like, rejuvenated in NXT. I don't know how much you've been watching him in NXT, but he is definitely, like, rejuvenated. He's, like, every one of his matches has been great. Him and O'Reilly have been, like, phenomenal.
I've watched those.
And I think that, you know, Finn's another guy that's going to get a bit of a run. I don't see Finn giving up the strap. You know, I think it's an intriguing enough matchup with Pete Dunne, but I don't think Pete Dunne's time is now. And I question, like, how much, you know, Pete Dunne brings to the belt. You know what I mean? Whereas Finn Balor kind of, you know, so I think Finn Balor, I think it could be match of the night. But if I had to guess, I'd go with Kushida, Gargano. But if not that, this will be match of the night. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But, I think definitely the only thing that makes sense is Balor retaining.
All right, man, we did it, man. We got through this. We got through this like Brutus. It's been an interesting couple of weeks of wrestling, you know, with so much shifting in the business and, you know, world upside down. So I'm curious. Oh, one last thing before I head out with New Japan. So there was a Hiroshima show. It was the main event was Ibushi versus Sonata, who Ibushi, much like Kenny Omega, he's calling himself a wrestling god. Now, we both know the connection that Omega has with Ibushi. So, again, there's so many eggs and hints being dropped, but they're both calling themselves wrestling gods. And so this, again, this fires up, you know, wrestling Twitter. But apparently, so Ibushi successfully defended against Sonata. He beat Sonata. Put both belts on the line. And so to end the show and what's culminating to be the last show on the New Beginnings tour, Naito came out and challenged Ibushi because Ibushi wants to melt the belts together and make it one title, just unify the titles once and for all, make it one title instead of carrying two belts around. And so Naito is saying that he wants to kill his dream. And so he challenged in the main event, not for the champ titles, but just the Intercontinental title. His attempt to split up the titles, which is an interesting storyline, something a little bit different. I'm surprised it's the Intercontinental title. But, you know, I know you don't have the Roku channel. We'll figure out a way for you to get it, but it's been very interesting. And, you know, they've been pushing the hell out of Kenta and Mox. You know, the rumor is that New Japan loves being in business with Mox and did everything possible to make – Mox made this happen, this marriage, allegedly, which must irk the shit out of you, but it's they love the business of Mox.
Nah,
so.
I'm not, like, anti-Mox. I just feel he's overrated. I'm not, like, anti-Mox.
So, but we'll talk more about Mox and Kenta next week, and we'll also review NXT TakeOver as well as preview Elimination and Chambers. So we'll do that next week and talk more about this. These odd times in wrestling. All right, man. We'll try it again next week. Hopefully, Ghostface and my situation don't get in the way. So, all right, man. Peace.
All right, late.